Did you hear it in the song? From the very moment of creation, God's Spirit hovers over the deep. All through creation, as life is begun. Oh, and then there's that verse where it speaks of the Hebrew people coming out of slavery through the desert into the promise that God had offered. And then that Spirit is present at the birth of a little baby boy who would live, teach, and then die, and then be resurrected, and then the Spirit would come on the day of Pentecost. But that's not where the song ends. For then it moves us to that next verse of our dreams, our visions, where the Spirit stirs us this very day to see what is next. It's a beautiful story. The story of God's Spirit. And that is the story we celebrate this day. You see, Jesus promised it would be coming. Jesus clearly told everybody, listen, there's something else coming. In fact, he said, disciples, the companion, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you. He outright told them the Spirit was showing up, but they didn't understand. That's usually how these things went. Jesus would offer them something and they took a while to really get it. But at the same time, let's be fair, maybe after a resurrected Jesus showed up, they'd figured they'd seen it all. I mean, what else could there be? I mean, surely after sending Jesus to live among us, to teach and serve and die, surely after raising Jesus from the dead, surely God was done with the surprises. Couldn't we just get back to life? I can just see the disciples gathered in that little upper room having the conversations. Oh, man, remember the last time we were here when Jesus showed up from the dead? Yeah, that was crazy. Oh, remember the time before that we were here and Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, eat this and remember me? Yeah, that was a night, wasn't it? Oh, yeah. Oh, remember the time we were here and he washed our feet? They were in a nice, special place. So many memories. And I can just hear the disciples talking to each other. You know, it almost seems a little anticlimactic to be back here and nothing special going on. And then it showed up. Just like Jesus had promised. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. The story goes on, speaking of the confusion and the chaos, the wonder, the amazement, the power of Pentecost. The second chapter of Acts says things were so wild and crazy, the people in the town thought all the disciples were drunk. They even checked the time. They're like, it's only 10 in the morning. What's up with those guys? That's how crazy things were. I mean, think about it. The rushing winds, the tongues of fire, the foreign languages. This was a sight to be seen. It's funny. I love that line in the hymn we sung about stir us from placidness. Pentecost is a day we're invited to get a little excited about things again in the church. In fact, it's one of the few days we break out the red. It's the reason we wear the red this day. It's supposed to be that lively, vibrant color. See, back when church services were held in languages people couldn't understand, and really everyone sort of just showed up and went through motions, and I mean that literally, you knew when you were supposed to do what, and you couldn't understand what was going on up front, and you didn't have a Bible at home, the colors were one of the things that helped people recognize something special's going on. You know, it seems like we have green out all the time, and ooh, it's a different color this week, it must be something special. That's why we wear red this day, to remind us that this isn't just an ordinary Sunday. This is the day we celebrate the Holy Spirit. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is as indescribable as they come. The Holy Spirit is more known through experience than it is through book learning and sermons. And so really, the invitation I offer you this day is to experience the Spirit. I have found that the Holy Spirit does not respond on command. It doesn't do party tricks. But the Holy Spirit will make use of the space that we create for it in our lives and in our community. Though the Holy Spirit can't be made to do things, we can certainly allow it to do what it will. Creating space and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our lives makes us spiritual people. That's the invitation of this day, to be spiritual people. It's a funny word, though, because there's been a movement in the last several decades to make spirituality a very personal thing. In fact, spirituality is often set in an equation as opposite to religion. You know, I'm spiritual but not religious. As if to say, what I have is personal and not institutional. And I tell you, that phrase is heartfelt and meant in a very positive way, and I've heard it from all sorts of wonderful people, including some in this very room. And I've discussed before that I think one of the biggest reasons people use this phrase is that the institution has allowed religion to be defined incorrectly by those who would make it about dogma and exclusion and other divisive things. That's not what religion is. But I believe there can be misunderstandings about the word spiritual as well. Somehow the word has slowly become about one's own personal relationship with things that are otherworldly. Well, on this day, as we celebrate the Spirit, I think it is appropriate to offer you a broader perspective on what it means to be spiritual. Now, I do believe in a personal relationship with the divine. And I hope each of you, in your own way, is growing and cultivating that as it might be for you. I believe in a personal relationship with Jesus. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's not just personal. Though the movement to this individualistic spirituality has really been growing in recent decades, this has been a long-standing misunderstanding of the word spiritual. In fact, it was going on 200-some years ago. In fact, it led John Wesley, the guy that started the Methodist Church, it led him at one point in time to say, there is no holiness but social holiness. Because the message of the gospel is about connection and relationship. You know, there's a reason that Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered, there I am with you. Because the Holy Spirit is something that is experienced together. It's a social thing. Now, I do need to take a moment to make sure to acknowledge that this does not mean that only extroverts get to experience the Holy Spirit. Allow me to remind you that Mother Teresa, when asked, when you pray, what do you say to God? Replied, I don't talk, I simply listen. And the reporter that asked her thought, oh, okay, well then, what is it that God says to you when you listen? And then Mother Teresa replied, God doesn't talk, God just listens. All of us are invited to the quiet, personal moments in which we can grow in our own relationship with God. We can't do it all alone, however. Just as we can't do the communal thing without some time alone as well. These two things reinforce each other, the personal relationship with the communal celebration and the communal experience of the Spirit. They go hand in hand. In my quiet alone time this week, doing my daily devotional, I came across a reading that emphasized the need for Christianity, specifically mainline Protestantism, that would be us, to become less individualistic. But this is the thing. The reading I was doing wasn't about individualistic people. The author noted that our religious practices themselves breed individualism. The way we can go about worship, the way we can go about activities, the way we do things, it's about the individuals. So as a community of faith, we are called to find growth in building community of the Spirit. I tell you, on a funny note, as I was putting my sermon together, I wrote that last sentence to be, so as people of faith, we've been called to find growth. And I found myself doing that individualistic thing. See, suddenly it wasn't about a community, it was about, well, as individual people, we should be doing this. This is what we should do as community together. Because that's what we're celebrating this day. We are celebrating that we are made community by the Spirit. We are a community tied together by the communion of the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's a wonderful place to understand the role of the Spirit better, the conversation of communion. When we celebrate Holy Communion with the bread and the juice, there's a prayer that's offered. It's called the prayer of consecration. And when I pray that prayer, it begins with these words: God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. And that prayer ends with these words: by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. This, to me, is what it means to be spiritual. One with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. In fact, it's what we see when we look at the book of Acts. The disciples on Pentecost are united with the Spirit of Christ, just as he said we all would be. Then they find a deep connection that's shared among them, the greatest common denominator being the presence of the Spirit in each of them. And then they go out to transform the world. One with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. See, it's not just personal. Experiencing the Spirit is about connection and relationship. So hear the invitation to be a part of building the community of the Spirit. Because that's what we're building when we fellowship together. Sure, the quiche and the French toast are amazing in their own right. But when we sit down to share a meal together, the Spirit is present together. In fact, the Spirit of community, the community of Spirit, is what we're building when the Golden Girls get together, when the men's group shares pie at Village Inn, when the green team is out collecting fruit from the neighborhood, when the choir gathers to sing, or the book club comes to talk about everything they want to and the book as well. It's what's present in Bible study when honest questions are asked. You know, we're also building the community of the Spirit when we pray for one another. See, we can be in a communion of the Spirit even when we are alone. Our social holiness is not simply about group participation. It's also about group consideration. Can we consider the others in our lives that the Spirit invites us to care for? I tell you, we're building the community of the Spirit when we gather to serve others in ministry to all the world. So this day I have a couple invitations for you. Do you want a personal experience of the Holy Spirit? If so, come join us on Saturday when we make sack lunches for the homeless. Because the Spirit isn't just present when we're having a good time making those. Oh, the Spirit is present when we are sharing that meal with the hungry people who offer us more than we could ever put in a brown bag by giving us a chance to see all the ways that God shows up in this world. Thank you for your ministry in helping us do so. Do you want a personal experience of the Holy Spirit? Jeff Hirota today is going to share with us the invitation to be a part of some mission days throughout the summer. Instead of one long, big trip, the mission team decided to pick 3 or 4 days throughout the summer. Just little half-day events. So you can just easily be a part of getting out and experiencing new things in the world. So when we come make time to care for the earth, or to organize food at the food bank, or to tend to the needs of and learn how to advocate for immigrant women and children, we can experience the community of the Spirit in doing so. Come be a part of the Spirit of service that makes this community what it is. Because these are the kinds of space-creating moments that make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. These are our opportunities. They are things that we share together that are beyond just being here on a Sunday morning. It's how the Spirit is present in this community in so many ways. We had a funny experience this week. It was time for our annual fire inspection, which I think is always appropriate the week of Pentecost when he talks about tongues of flame coming into the sanctuary and such. Fire marshal shows up, does a walkthrough. He comes in and he says, "Everything's perfectly in order. I do want to let you know you have some birds in your sanctuary." I said, "Excuse me?" He goes, "Oh yeah, there's a couple pigeons flying around in your sanctuary." We came upstairs, Brandon, Tamara, and I, and the windows were open, and apparently a couple birds had made their way in. Now, for those of you that don't know, the dove is also another symbol of the Holy Spirit. So not only have we had the fire inspection, now we got birds circling here in the sanctuary. So Tamara, Brandon, and I hop into action. We decide we need to scare them into the, we need to persuade them into the balcony, and then we can be closer. So here I am up top. There's video on the church web Facebook page if you want to see this. I'm up there with a giant cloth, and for some reason I'm cooing. Coo, coo, coo. I don't know. I thought it would help. And Brandon's on one side and Tamara's on the other, and we're corralling them, of all things, toward Jesus. There's a nice picture of him up there. And the birds get there, and eventually they make their way into the little rooms, and we capture them one at a time. And I carry them out to the door, and God only knows, literally, only God knows what people driving by were thinking, seeing these birds released from our doors. I mean, they weren't even the pretty white ones. You know, I mean, these were pigeons. Street birds, as my wife likes to call them. They got me thinking. This is our story. We can't get stuck in here. We can't just circle around in this room thinking that's what spirituality is all about. We need to be chased out of this place and sent out into the world. That's where we really belong. We need to be out in the streets, in the world, living that spirituality. It does us no good to simply circle our wings. We have a new bookmark for our Bible. It's a pigeon feather. I wish it was one of those beautiful white ones. You know, if there had been doves in here, it would have been a great... Oh, you know what? I think the pigeon's a great idea. Because let me tell you, they sure find themselves everywhere. And when we're out there serving sandwiches in the park, guess who's there? The pigeons. When we're out hiking trails and doing things this summer with Outreach Colorado, outdoor work and things like this, Jeff will tell us about these opportunities. I want you to look around. And you'll see the birds. And you will see the Spirit. And you will know that we've been sent forth from this place. Amen.